This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show in with us. That, of course, happened on the McAfee Show. When did you find out about that?
About 15 minutes before. When I was in the Sam's Club looking for some toilet paper, and I looked on my Twitter, and I saw somebody tweet it. I'm like, oh, I guess he's on the show today.
So they didn't give you a heads up as the Steelers insider?
As soon as I found out, I was like, hey, yo, what's going on?
And what they said?
I don't think he just set some things straight.
Do you feel like he did that?
I mean, depends on your perspective.
Well, from your perspective, did
My perspective, I thought he came off pretty genuinely. I thought he maybe had a bone to pick with the Jets, and maybe that was the reason why he really wanted to come on. But I really believed everything he said. I think it's tough because we don't know exactly what he's going through, if it's an illness, if it's whatever it could be. And I would much rather have a guy wait, especially he's out in front. He's out in front and told the guys, hey, this is going on. I'm not going to be able to commit to you right now. I want to be all in. He doesn't want to be all in. Then all of a sudden something happens and has to pull back. And I think that would make him look really, really bad. I came off of it thinking that this guy wants to play football. He wants to play for the Steelers. You don't talk to Mike Tomlin multiple times, right? You don't speak glowingly of Tom Arth. You don't say how great DK Metcalf of a person is, how you want to see Omar, unless he wants to play here. He pretty much dismissed the Giants. He pretty much dismissed the Vikings, not much to say, just totally ignored anything about the Saints. But I don't think he's 100% sure of what might happen in another week, 2 weeks, month or so down the road, where then he would have to go back on his own commitment. That's how I read it.
But when Pat followed up with him and asked him, all right, once you get the personal stuff sorted out, it sounds like the Steelers are the team you want to play for. He would not say yes or even come close to saying yes.
Yeah.
On
he probably didn't want, a lot of times you don't want to be pigeonholed on the record there saying, okay, then what do? We play that sound clip for, say he says he doesn't want to do it. Then
well, I think some guys
that could be it.
I think some guys wouldn't. I think some guys wouldn't want to say it because they would lose leverage. But there's no negotiation here, according to Aaron, because
he
said
his own leverage. Yeah.
He said he'd play for $10 million.
You throw that number out there, you know, you're better. Pretty much, you better be sticking to it now.
I mean, I had not heard that. Yeah. I had not heard that he was willing to play for basically, you know, high end.
I knew it was not very much money. I didn't think it was 10 mil.
Well, I'm surprised to hear you say that because I thought maybe I got you wrong here. Didn't somebody say they thought that the Rodgers money was holding back the Steelers from negotiating with Watt?
I think they want to see where it goes, but maybe that. Hey, I don't know. I mean, as you can, you know, snooping around, there's information that's hard to come by, especially when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. When maybe only two people really know it. Maybe only one person really knows what they're thinking. So maybe that number wasn't 30. Maybe that number wasn't 10. Maybe it was higher. Now it's all of a sudden, okay, we can. But I was under the impression that they wanted to get this figured out first before they moved forward with what. But it doesn't really make sense, because you can structure a contract any way you want.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, if you don't have enough money, so to speak,
you can move money around to give yourself enough money. Or if you want to do it bad enough.
Yeah, you can do it bad. And I think they will. I just think it's really early in the process. It's April. Come talk to me in, you know, August. And if there's an issue,
Mark,
you sound
like you've been evangelized by the Steelers, and that the Steelers, I think, still feel like Rodgers is going to come.
Yeah,
and the sense that I got just from the people I've talked to is that whereas media and fans came out of that McAfee interview and thought, man, he doesn't sound like a guy who wants to play football right now, his career might be over, the Steelers seem to think it's still going to happen.
Yeah,
and that's how you feel.
I think it's been like that for a while now. I think the Steelers felt very, very confident. When I say, like, you know, the handshake deal, wink, wink, nod, nod, that's more of a figure of speech of the Steelers really having a good feel that what they're hearing from him, that he's going to eventually be here. And I don't think anything's changed. I mean, didn't you hear the same thing? I mean, it just seems like they really, truly believe in their hearts that he will be here.
But I also heard a guy who has put football so far on the back burner that I don't know when it's going to become a, you know, like it's going to become a pressing issue for him. Like he has to scratch that itch and get back out there and play. He said multiple people in his inner circle are dealing with personal stuff.
Yeah.
When do those problems get fixed?
I don't know. We don't even know the degree of those problems, right?
Do the Steelers? Was he upfront with them? Did he say, okay, this person is sick, or this person has that, or, and this is the timetable on both of those things?
Totally.
You'd like to think so.
Totally guessing. I wouldn't think that he would say, hey, my best friend blah, blah, blah is dealing with blah, blah, blah. So it might
but
be
wouldn't
a while.
You want to know that if you're the Steelers? Because if it's someone that's dealing with a terminal disease or something and it's going to go on for a long time, well, then that would make me feel like he's not going to play this year. But if it's something that would seem like it could get fixed in the next few weeks or next month, then I would feel good about it.
I think that Aaron Rodgers would have to bring that up himself. I don't think the Steelers would be like, hey, what do you mean? What's going on? Because you see how, not taken back, but surprised that people figured out he was at the Southside facility. Last thing he needs to do is let people know that lets it leak out, and then all of a sudden so-and-so knows his inner workings of somebody.
I don't understand why they're still so in love with a guy who's mind and focus is so far away from football at 41 years old.
Well, that's a different question.
Like I know it is. That's why I'm bringing it up right now. And that this switch is going to get flipped and he's going to be able to show up whenever that is and just, you know, shift right into football and be the great football player that he was a number of years ago.
I don't think anybody believes this was the original plan. There was some other original plan out there to do a quarterback. If it was Justin Fields, and maybe they weren't anticipating him not wanting to come back and go to the Jets, then by the time that was figured out, there was nothing left. So you pretty much hit your horse to that wagon of Aaron Rodgers and say, okay, let's play. I don't think they go in the meeting, the free agency meeting, of the roster building meeting, at sometime January or February and say, okay, let's see if Aaron Rodgers might play, but he might not be ready until August. So we'll go with Mason Rudolph, and we might draft a guy. That's not a plan.
I understand that, but Omar and Mike did both say that they were going to have meetings where they went over all the quarterback scenarios, so they had to discuss the guys who were free agents and how they felt about them and how they ranked them compared to their own guys. If they didn't do that, well, then they didn't really do a good job of using that time to prepare themselves for the offseason.
Okay, imagine they just realized real early on in the process that Justin Fields wasn't signing.
Yep.
You didn't want Russell Wilson for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have been their option?
Well, they would have. I would think at that point they would have discussed guys like Sam Darnold. They would have discussed guys like Aaron Rodgers. They would have brought up Daniel Jones. They would have thought about, okay, guys that are maybe available in a trade, Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins. All those guys would have gotten talked about at that point, right? I mean, you'd think.
Yeah.
If you're covering all your bases and leaving no stone unturned.
But Stafford was really never available, right? I don't think you want Geno Smith. You're right back at a lot of money for a 35-year-old guy. I mean, there's not a lot of options out there is what I'm getting at right now. If Aaron Rodgers is a fallback plan that can either fall through or work out in August, and you have to go with Mason Rudolph in the interim, I don't see that being a terrible thing, especially if you're only going to pay him $10 million. I mean,
but at this point, Mark, if you pay him $10 million or $30 million, what difference does it make? It's not like the savings is going to help you build a better football team this year. All the moves have already been made. The time to sign Aaron Rodgers for $10 million would have been the first week of free agency, because then you could have taken that money that you thought you were spending on Aaron Rodgers and you could have used it on other players.
Yeah,
but all those guys are gone.
It's definitely a risk, and I don't, like I said, I don't think this was the original plan. This was maybe plan B.
But let's go back to what I said. Okay, that's a different topic. The fact that they are still, though, interested in someone whose mind is so far away from football, and Mike being the ultimate, what you get in, what you put in is what you get out. That's what he liked so much about Kenny. He loves the hard, grinded out guys, first one in, last one out guys. And here's somebody who's like, I'd rather concentrate on this relationship with his girlfriend that he brought up and what's going on with his friends.
And Apollo.
Yeah. Is that the dog's name?
Apollo the dog.
But you know what I mean? And he's not coming off a good year. He went 5-12.
Yeah. You know what, though? What did he say about Antonio Brown back in the day? I treat everybody fairly, but I don't treat everybody the same.
Okay, but Antonio Brown was the best wide receiver in football, and this is a guy who was, what, the 19th best quarterback in the NFL last year?
He is their best option right now. Well, maybe not best option, but he is an option. Well, their best free agency option. You're not going out and getting Teddy Bridgewater.
I know,
Kirk
Mark,
Cousins.
But hold, I don't think that – so you're saying that at this point, like the Steelers and Tomlin are looking at it like, well, you know, it's slim pickings out there. We're fighting over scraps and leftovers.
Yeah.
I honestly think that Mike believes in his head, because people have told me this, that he thinks he can win big with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, they thought they could win big with Russell Wilson. They thought they could win with Mitch Trubisky. They thought that's always the underlying theme of everything they do. They always think they're going to win. We sit there and we look at it and we break everything apart and say, this team's far off from winning.
So why
they don't view it that way.
Why is the team the delusion? Usually the fans are delusional and the team is pragmatic. Why is it shifted here where the people that run the team hoodwink themselves or talk themselves into thinking this washed up bum is actually going to come here and play well for us?
I don't know. They don't think he's a washed up bum? They figure they add Metcalf, right? You could get something from Wilson. Maybe their running backs are better. Maybe they go out and sign one here after the draft. Add defense there. They still love their defense. Maybe they think that a veteran quarterback is all that's left. I mean, I can't get in their heads and tell you, but obviously that's the way they're going about
the
business.
Do you agree with that? Donnie phrased it this way earlier. He said the Steelers are acting like they're only a quarterback away. Do you believe
this
that they are?
This is the NFL.
Yes.
Can go either way, man.
We're familiar
with it, Mark.
We're talking about football right now.
What I'm saying is we've had a number of different instances where a team that you didn't think was very good and had a great year. So if right now if you're saying they could go 12-5 and win the division, I'd say, yeah, okay. If they can go 5-12, I'd be like, yeah, they can. I think it's all hinges on the quarterback.
I think it's the NFL and it's the Steelers, and we know both we know both parties pretty well.
I think the roster's not bad. I don't think I think the roster's much better than what it was last year. They just need somebody to put it together, and in their minds, Aaron Rodgers is that guy.
Yes, I know. We're getting inside the Steelers' head, and it's easy to figure out how they view it. I'm interested in how you view it. Do you actually think that has a chance of happening? Where they get Aaron Rodgers here and they go 12-5 and they host a playoff game for the first time since 2020. You actually think that's on the table?
I wouldn't dismiss it. I still like the way he throws the ball. I still like, you know, the 20 years of experience and his four MVPs.
But you've also tweeted out things in the last 48 hours. Like, there's part of me that still thinks Mason can be the guy. There's a part of me that still wants Mason to get his shot.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Mason, you know, that's going to be the big loser in all this.
I said yesterday, like, based on what Rodgers sounded like, I thought he might end up being the big winner, because the longer Rodgers puts this off, the more time he gets to show them again that he can be their starting quarterback.
Anyway, I've never seen somebody turn from, you know, still a phrase from you, mediocre Mason, to everybody clamoring for, hey, we want Mason.
I agree.
This is an unbelievable turnaround.
Could call it a face turn, Mark.
It's more than, I don't know what that is. It's the opposite of seeing it. It's like your mouth. If you'd have told me this is what people thought about Mason Rudolph 3 years ago.
Mark, Twitter poll question from today. 1,500 respondents. Better player right now, Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph? 46% say Rudolph. It's neck and neck. A guy that won three games here 2 years ago and got benched for Duck Hodges.
I got a mind that wanders right here to say how many people just don't like Aaron Rodgers. Not that he can, what he can bring to the field, just don't like him, or what they heard of him, maybe how he comes across and how that influences it. Do you think that's a possibility?
I think it is. I mean, I can tell you personally, I wanted Aaron Rodgers to come here to replace Ben, so it's not about what he's said in his, you know, on his soapbox. I mean, he brought up again yesterday with McAfee, like, hey, can people give me credit for being right about COVID? Like, he's going to go on those sidebar tangents. I don't care about that. I want him
but
to
you.
Win.
But I'm not saying
but I get what you're saying. I absolutely think. I think it goes both ways. I think there are people that don't like Aaron Rodgers because of his, social or political agenda. And I think there are people that do want Aaron Rodgers to succeed for those reasons, too. And I'm not exactly sure which number is bigger.
You know, he really covered his rear end, too, of saying, I don't really care what they do in the draft either. So even if they do draft Shedeur Sanders, he'd be willing. I don't know if I believe that, though.
Really?
Do you? That wouldn't would change his mind at all? I don't think it would.
I don't think it would either. No, because I think in his mind, he thinks he's going to play. He's 41. He's going to get a. Well, I mean, Mike gave Mitch Trubisky a shot over a first-round quarterback. Why wouldn't he give Aaron Rodgers the shot over a first-round guy?
I still think Rodgers has some arm talent. He was banged up a lot last year, what I hear, that was more than just the Achilles.
I thought he sucked last year.
But he was really banged up for the first. What I was told
you
was
know what
he
that
never,
reminds
he
me
never
of?
Left the training room.
That reminds me of after Ben's first year. Man, that second year removed from that elbow, you're going to see a new Ben, a different-looking Ben. Oh. He just needed to shake that rust off that first year.
I think Ben might have had the best fourth quarter in the history of fourth quarters that season. What was it, his final season? The take the reins off of, say, okay, Matt Canada, I don't care what you're saying. I'm going to do what I want. The guy was fabulous in the fourth quarter of games then, so maybe there was some.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something to that.
People wonder about the New Orleans Saints and Shadur. People think about the New York Giants. I've heard he will not be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I heard that meeting did not go well. And that wasn't from someone telling me that, because this is always the assumption that it's because someone's trying to affect these boards. But somebody's picking a quarterback higher than expected.
4:15, time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. That's an NFL insider named Aaron Wilson, who's been doing this a while. Used to work for ESPN, now works in Houston. Saying that Sanders just bombed his interview with the Steelers. Mark Cabali from the McAfee Show is in with us. Mark, have you heard that?
No, but I know Aaron Wilson pretty well. And Aaron is very, very in tune with agents. So you could pretty much make the assumption that he heard this from an agent. Now, it's probably one agent from the next agent to the next agent to the next agent.
Here's an interesting thing about Sanders. Does not have an agent.
So obviously, it's like second and third hand then. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what is considered a bombed?
Like, just ill-prepared for it? Like, body language, answers were horrible.
I guess they could put him up on the board and
blew
say,
it with that
XX,
stuff.
What
yeah,
do you
exactly.
Do here? But like, who would like, if he didn't have an agent? I didn't even realize that. Who's going to tell him? I mean, is I always try to find
somebody,
follow the paper
somebody
trail.
From
there
the,
is no paper trail.
Somebody from the Steelers would have to let an agent know who isn't Sanders' agent, and then that agent would have to tell Aaron Wilson.
There's a paper trail. Everybody else has said the otherwise. Otherwise, that it was great.
McShay is saying that Tomlin has like this love affair with Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. I mean, I would be very interested at 21 in Sanders, depending on who else is there at the time. I wouldn't take him over a D tackle, but I would definitely be intrigued.
Do you think that Derek Harmon is the guy they want to pick at 21?
I think it is, but I don't know if he'll be there. I mean, you have a couple teams ahead of him that could be at that spot. You might have to go up and get him.
I don't
Do you
think
really want to move up a
I don't think
spots?
I don't think they're going to trade up because they don't have that second round pick.
I think that, honestly, my personal opinion, I think they'll somehow get back into the second by giving up maybe a third next year or something to get back late in the second. I think that will end up happening. I don't think they're going to go a draft without a second round pick. I think
So wait a minute. How would they do that? They would trade next year's third.
Well, first of all, they're going to get X amount of compensatory picks. But
I get that.
They can't trade them because they don't know what the
I know, yet. But how is next year's third going to get them a second?
Well, it would have to be third and a third and a fifth, third and a this year, whatever. It's going to have to be multiple picks just to move up. Would you not take a third and a fifth next year to move up six spots or something? You know, I'm not saying where are they at? They'd have to move up a pretty
much. Yeah, man.
Yeah. Maybe it's multiple, but I think they will somehow either move up into the second or in the really high third.
Dulac reported that it's not going to be with a Pickens trade.
No, no. I mean, that's been obvious since a month now.
What's made it obvious? That Pickens hasn't said peep and that the Steelers publicly have said nice things?
I mean, leaving West Palm Beach, you get a bunch of scents from stuff.
West Palm Beach is where the owners' meetings are for people that don't know.
And you pretty much got the sense that they weren't trading him. Unless, of course, he comes in and makes a stink and say he wants traded, but it doesn't look like the case right now. But does he hold out or hold in? I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it matters, but I don't think they're interested in trading him at all, and I wouldn't trade him. I mean,
do you think that makes wide receiver in the first round highly unlikely?
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, it depends on who's left. If all the quarterbacks are gone and all your defensive tackles are gone, maybe.
Well, wait a minute. All the quarterbacks are gone, so you think there's more than just Sanders that they could take with that 21st pick?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm thinking that you're going Ward. I think Ward, Dart, and Sanders are gone. Top 12. I mean, somebody's going to jump in and grab somebody you're not expecting.
Dart just decided last second to not go to the draft now.
Yeah, it could be a bunch of things. I haven't heard if it's because if he thought he was going to fall out of it or, you know, well, they wanted to have a party or something, you know. I don't know.
That was my inference. But why would you say yes and then, like, 2 days later, it's like, you know what I'd rather do if people over to eat Doritos and drink beer? Like, if you committed originally is because you wanted to do that, and I would think unless there's some kind of, you know, extenuating personal circumstance – or you got bad, you know, the draft intel you're getting has changed in a negative way that would make you not want to go through the embarrassment of having
to
sit around.
Don't you see Jackson Dart going the other way rather than down? Top 10?
Well, the only way he goes in the top 10 is if New Orleans takes him. And if New Orleans takes Dart, that means that Sanders will probably be there for the Steelers at 21, which would mean they take him unless Harmon is still there, right?
Yeah, maybe Nolan. I don't know. I don't think they'd be running to the podium for Donnie's buddy Grant. I think he's very one dimensional rather than being a guy that could play nose and outside. I think Harmon and Nolan are more.
Well, so I brought this up to Fittipaldo yesterday and he gave me kind of a little bit of a wishy-washy answer. I said, let's say they draft Grant from Michigan. Does that mean Benton plays end? Right? If you draft Harmon plays end, Hayward plays end, and Benton plays defensive tackle. If you take Grant, then Benton's going to have to change positions, right?
Well, I think
at least on first and second down.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I don't think you use a 21st overall pick on a guy who is a nose where you play 30% base defense, which works out to what? 18 snaps a game? That's just ridiculous. That's why I don't think he would be.
And you also think that's the Steelers' opinion on it, not just yours.
Yeah, I think common sense. I mean, I think a couple years ago, I forget who it was, a lot of people were clamoring for the Steelers to take a nose tackle.
Yeah, that was Jordan Davis from Georgia.
No.
No?
He could move out. It was somebody maybe 10 years ago. I forget who it was. The guy from, I don't know who it was. He turned into be a bum, so... What I'm saying is because he was very specific, position specific of nose tackle. If you want to get a first round pick, you better hope he can play more than 18.
All right, here's a scenario. Let's say Harmon and Sanders are both gone by the time they're on the clock at 21. Who do you think becomes the pick then?
Is Gentis gone?
Do you think the other running back would be the pick there if he's available? The North Carolina running back?
Hampton. I wouldn't cross it off the board. Right?
They've just looked into so many running backs, and well, I think
they have 9 or 10. They brought
9, and I think they like enough of them where they really don't want to do that. Mark, I hope they don't want to do that, and I don't think they will.
I think there's a handful of guys still out there that have some tread on the tire that you can get for cheap come May 1st. If it's Chubb, if it's Edwards, if it's Dobbins.
Well, I was just going to say, right? So Jeff has said from the very beginning that he thinks the Steelers like Chubb. Do you back that up?
Oh, if they do, I mean, that's something you go after on the Monday after the draft because he doesn't count against the compensatory picks after that. Yeah, why not? I mean, if you're – that's where you dump Cordero Patterson at the time and then bring him on. I think they could go that route regardless if they draft one because you're going to have – Gainwell, who's pretty position specific. Warren's been banged up from time to time.
Do you think they view Warren as a number one running back, or do you think when they like have their depth chart? Okay.
I think that obviously that's what Gainwell is here to do. Now, they might have an overestimation on Gainwell like they did with Cordero Patterson last year.
Yep.
We'll see how that plays out. But I think their offensive line is getting a little bad rap. They got some guys that should get better. Frazier should get better.
Well, what do you mean it's getting a bad rap?
People are saying, you know, you hear a lot of people saying, boy, their offensive line stinks.
Their offensive line is a work in progress. They have the players for it to make a big jump and for it to be a turnaround, but it's also you have to put if on it.
Yeah, but I think the owner's only one if, and we know
Broderick.
Yes. Well, I think the other four are solid. I think Samalu will stay status quo, which is good enough. I think the other three will get better. I think Fatondo's going to come in and be maybe, you know, I can't say rookie of the year because he was not a rookie, but he's going to play very well. You could just see the mentality and how they liked him last year and the little bit of stuff
that he did
last year.
All right, so that being said, if you had to predict from their five offensive linemen where Fautanda would rank among their best linemen for next year.
Probably two, because I put Frazier at one.
So you think he'll be their second best lineman? Okay.
I'd say Fautanda, two. Samalu's good at three. McCormick just has to... He had a good base. Now he has to build on that. But I think he has all the talent in the world. It's what Broderick does. I mean, he has to get it together.
And how do you feel about that right now?
It's a coin flip right now, man. I think he has all the athleticism, talent in the world, but I just don't think it connects. He needs somebody to get it from connecting.
I want to believe that
to the head.
And I want to believe that going from right to the natural side will help him. But the thing that scares me is people that I know that are offensive linemen who have watched him do not say very nice things about his technique and don't think that just flipping sides is going to fix that. So, I don't know.
That's Malzie's guy, too.
That is Malzie. He said that Jones would go down as the greatest offensive lineman or offensive tackle in Steelers history, not lineman, because we obviously have Dawson and Webster and
Fanica. See, people give you grief, and they don't give him much grief over that.
Oh,
they give you the Rice to Montana thing all the time, right?
Not only that, but, I mean, the Ayuk thing. It's like people remember my misses, but never remember my
you
mix.
Know, that's funny you should say that, because every time I tweet something, somebody sends me a picture of me fake sleeping in front of Tomlin. That's my IU
claim to fame now. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, okay, I get it.
What negative thing do people constantly bring up about you, Donnie? Anything?
I don't know if I've had that one big
faux pas
negative moment yet. Soon enough, I'm
Donnie
sure.
Tootball.
Yeah, that's AI's fault, though. That's not my fault. That AI action figure.
Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show in studio. Donnie Football with us. Malzie's in Nashville. Donnie's long been a ham guy on Easter. Would you say you're a ham guy too, Mark?
Absolutely. Good ham sandwich. You put mayo on the ham, Donnie. But, you know,
like on Easter, or if I make a sandwich out of it after?
Well, you know.
I'll do it after on a sandwich. I won't just like lather the...
But we're not talking about cold cut ham. We're talking about the ham off the bone. Leftover ham, right?
Yeah,
Mark,
you,
is that what you're asking
you
about?
A
little
it on
cheese, a little dab of mayo, maybe a pickle.
Because I like eating chipped ham that way. I don't really make ham.
You eat chipped ham?
Yeah. Why does that surprise you?
Yeah, it does.
What the hell's that supposed to mean?
No, you don't look like a chipped ham guy.
I don't look like a chipped ham guy.
Does he look like a chipped ham guy, Donnie?
It's a blue collar food.
My dad thought I was Mason Rudolph. He thought the picture I posted of Rudolph in his overalls was me. He's losing it if he thinks I look like Mason Rudolph.
So, Pony, like after a holiday, either Christmas or Easter, when you have like the leftover ham, you're not tossing that on like a
I've said this before. I'm not a ham. I don't like Easter and Christmas ham.
Oh, I love it.
I like leftover turkey from Thanksgiving, turning that into sandwiches. I actually like the leftover turkey meal more than I like the original Thanksgiving turkey meal.
So you don't like ham, you don't like Peeps, you don't like Cadbury eggs.
No. No.
You're an alien.
You like Long John Silver, which is not exactly a feather in your cap.
Once a year, but I'm not even going to get into that or I get in trouble.
Why?
Apparently I got dumped, no pun intended. Starkey, I mean, Austin Bechdel dumped me for saying something about Long John Silver's the other day.
Was it derogatory or negative, I guess?
What do you always say when you or Malzy are out?
Oh, explosive diarrhea? So you brought that up and he dumped it. Yeah, that's funny.
No pun intended, right?
Oh, okay.
I guess there was a pun. No, I'm a big Long John Silver's guy, but only about once a year.
Oh, yeah, you're such a huge fan, you go one out of 365 days.
Well, it takes a while to build up your immunity after that.
No, I like prime rib more on...
I hate prime rib.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Oh.
Especially I don't think anybody in my family on either side has ever made it for a holiday.
Because they don't like it or because you just don't think to do it?
I guess the latter.
That's not
like bad. I know that people have had it, but it's never been an option.
I think it blows ham right out of the ballpark. I don't even think it's close. Why don't you like prime rib, Mark?
Sucker's still moving.
So if you went to this big steak dinner that Donnie Bechtold and Joe had, you would not get a steak on the rarer side of things?
I'll get it rare, but the prime rib's just too much gristle and fat. Now
that's different than it's still Starkey. Moving. The moving thing implies that it's still bleeding and that it's
raw. Like that. I'm a good, like, rare type of guy. I know Starkey, you got the filet, right? You might as well just be eating hamburger then. What is that, kid's meal? What is that, a kid's meal?
Yeah, he did get the filet.
Did he get a small one?
He did get a small one.
I had to bring it home.
He didn't even eat the whole thing?
Yeah. I didn't want to make fun of him because he's the guy that paid for the meal, and I didn't want
to... But now you I are also, because you did think it was a weak move.
Well,
to not
I also had to wonder, like, okay, maybe he's, like, not feeling well or something.
Did you see how much he tipped him?
I did not.
Oh, I would have definitely got up and...
No, but that
like
was one of the takeaways from Donnie's meal with those guys. He was surprised by how much Bechtold ate. He thought Austin, for a little guy, actually threw down pretty hard that night,
well,
which...
He just probably felt the pressure that he couldn't go in there. And
well, yeah, we said he was going to sit down with a box of crayons and get the chicken tenders off the kids' menu.
Yeah, he got through his New York strip.
When he was at the, what's that, wing place? Buffalo Wild Wings when we were there a couple months ago. He did get the chicken, boneless chicken. I made fun of him for eating
chicken. Well, you also made fun of me for getting a salad there, Mark.
Apparently he does that. True. Apparently he's like a boneless wings only guy.
That's, awful.
You know Jim Palmer, the old Orioles pitcher, claims he's never had a chicken wing in his entire life?
He needs to go to Archie's then. Archie will hook you up.
That's right. Start your weekend off right with Archie's famous wings. Mark, we went through it the last 10 years. The Steelers have hit on one draft pick in the first round. How is that possible? And who do you blame for that? Bud Dupree, Artie Burns, T.J. Watt, Terrell Edmonds, Devin Bush, no pick in 2020. Najee, Kenny, Broderick Jones, Fautanu. Now, Fautanu, the jury is still out on. You think he's going to be great. He did just miss a year. Broderick early returns, not good. Kenny's in Cleveland. Najee's in L.A. Devin Bush was an all-time bust. Edmonds was never anything more than just an okay player. Burns has played forever but stunk here. And Dupree had two great years with Watt, and that's it. And never got a second contract.
I think Dupree's still in the league, right?
He was in L.A. with the Chargers last year.
That's my buddy.
Yeah, he hates both of us.
Yeah. That's tough. You know, the problem is I don't think that it's a little different than maybe this happening 10 years ago. They can overcome that to a degree because they've had more money to spend on free agency. If you miss on a first-round pick, that just means you have to supplement it with a free agent, right?
But that was
and
always
they never
the
had
thing.
That
they
type
hate,
of.
They also hated doing that.
Yeah,
in the
but
past.
They didn't have any money the 10 years prior to that, so they had to live.
Because they were signing
it.
All their good draft picks to second
that's
contracts.
What I'm saying. So that's it's sort of now. What could you do with that money if these guys hit? Yeah, they have to. Talking to Colbert, and that's one of the first things he would ever say is you can't miss on your first round pick. You cannot miss on your. You'll set you back years, and you just named a good. Seven of them.
I'll go through these guys. You tell me why each one wasn't better here. Why wasn't Bud Dupree better? Because he would argue with us on social media?
Yeah, he called me a fat boy on social media, so it serves him right. Well, he was good for a year, the money year, right?
Yeah, and then the franchise tag
Watt.
Year.
That was it.
So 2 years.
Well, he wasn't. Harrison, he had beef with Harrison, too. You remember that? When Harrison ended up getting cut, he was the happiest guy I've ever seen in my life in that locker room running around. So those didn't get along. But, yeah, he coming out of Kentucky, I don't know. I just think he was average. He wasn't great. But
yeah, he wasn't a bust. He just wasn't a good player here. How about Artie Burns? Why
didn't
he work?
They didn't necessarily want him. But Well, I mean, they wanted William Jackson before
what
that.
What a thing to say about the first round pick. They didn't really want him.
They wanted William Jackson the time before the pick before that.
And got caught with their pants down.
Yeah, and Artie, once again, he had a decent year, but he had some talent early on. It just never materialized. Maybe it's something to do with developing guys, too, because they look good early, like, okay, put him on Antonio in camp and see what he can do. Then it just, like, petered out.
Edmonds.
I thought Edmonds was solid, but he wasn't a first-round pick.
So they just reached on him.
He was taking a pee when they drafted him.
Wait, what?
You never heard that story? He was there because his buddy Tremaine was...
His brother.
Brother, yeah. His brother Tremaine was getting drafted in the top 10 picks, and he was going to relieve himself.
So he never thought he was going to get drafted in the first round.
Yeah, and they're like, where's Terrell at? He's taking a leak.
Donnie, have you heard that story? I've never heard that in my entire life.
But it adds up, because how often have we said that Terrell Edmonds was as surprised as any of us that he got his name called that night?
I think he's a solid player, but not a first rounder.
Mark, why did they reach on him? No, I agree. Yes. I agree with Mark. Like, I've never blamed him for not being a first round.
Oh, yeah, like he
talent.
Didn't have the work ethic or didn't put in the time. It was just he was.
He had no business being picked there. That's the Steelers'
Why did
fault.
They think he was a first round pick?
I never really got any answer for that. I don't know. I mean, he was a specimen of a person, and they needed a safety at the time. I would have to go back and look and see who else was available.
Lamar Jackson, a couple picks later.
Wow, you're not going to pick that, then Big Ben was not going to be happy.
Yeah, but then you picked Mason Rudolph a couple rounds after that and still made Ben unhappy. Devin Bush.
Wow, they were desperate. They thought, and how'd that trade end up working? They gave up a bunch of picks, but nothing that materialized for Denver either. With the picks they gave out, I think Noah Fant was one of them, maybe.
And then he got flipped to Seattle in the Russell trade.
I think the problem they fell in love with it was the Devin and Devin show. They thought they could find somebody to replace Shazier. It just turned out the guy was way too small. That's what it was, instantly. I don't know how you miss that or how do you think he overcomes that. It was just a miss.
Also not a great attitude. How about Najee? Why was Najee just solid and durable here and nothing more than that?
Well, the offensive line was rebuilt a couple times. The coordinator wasn't good. But he just never had that explosiveness that you need in the league right now.
But again, that's a misevaluation. Like, you saw that on tape with him at Alabama.
I don't know if they thought that would matter. I think
not having an explosive running back and sinking a first-round pick into him doesn't mean anything.
What they got out of him is what I think they thought they were going to get out of him, and that's what they wanted. Okay, he's not going to bust a 70-yarder. We want the ground and pound of 40 carries a game off our offensive line or our offense, and we'll win that way. I think he ended up doing exactly what they thought he would do, but it just wasn't spectacular.
But Mark, I mean, even though he did not have the durability of Najee, but they got that kind of running back with Connor in the third round, which means you can find running backs like that later in the draft.
You can find them, but the James Connors in the third round, how many do you miss before you hit them?
No, you've said that before.
I mean, it's true. I mean, it's a pet peeve of mine saying, oh, you get one late in the draft. Yes, you can, but there's about 30 of them that are bust, too, before you can find that guy. And at that point of their scouting department, did you think they were going to find that guy? I think they might have gave up on Connor a little bit too early, but he had a bunch of injuries too.
Yeah, I had no problem with them letting him leave. All right, your prediction on who the 21st pick is going to be, because we're not going to talk again until after the draft.
Ooh, I'm going to say Derek Harmon.
He's somehow still there.
I think he'll somehow fall. I think all three quarterbacks will be gone by 12, 13. I agree with Aaron Wilson. The surprise will come up and grab one. They're interested in the Michael Penix route, whoever that may be. And I think they move back into the second round at some point.
Tomlin and Omar Khan will talk on Tuesday, but apparently you're not allowed to ask him about Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know. I did not hear that. It's a draft leading up to the draft press conference, so I haven't heard any rules yet. So I probably won't prevent it from being asked, but you'll probably hear a voice in the background saying we're only talking about the draft.
Who do you think is the most likely Steelers insider to go rogue there and ask a question about Aaron Rodgers when it's supposed to be about the draft?
Well, Dulac's always the first one off the board. You know,
why is that? It's like he is that
seniority.
So when he retires, who gets the first question from now on? You?
See how the media room's set up. If you're in the middle to the back, it's very difficult to get that first question in. It's all seating arrangements.
Yeah.
Depends on where they seat you at. And there was an issue last year with a seating arrangements in that place.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I got moved around a couple places unbeknownst to me. And
do you remember in Indy after the Colts game where I tried to get the first question in just to piss Jerry off? And then cut me off and gave me a dirty look. Yeah.
Just because I think
that's a silly, like, unwritten rule. And I think Jerry's fine. Like, I don't have any personal gripe with him at all. I just think it's kind of ridiculous that one person always has to ask the first question.
He's been around 30 years. We respect our elders, right, Jer?
Mark, best match this weekend.
Wow. What do you have to look forward to is John Cena being 17-time champ. Although, I keep an eye on this, Donnie. Paul Heyman's going to do something that you might think he might go with Seth Rollins. I think it's going to be something where you're like, oh, my goodness, I didn't see this one coming. I don't know what it is. Paul Heyman's going to have one of those huge WrestleMania moments where you're like, wow.
He just calls Brock Lesnar from out in the back.
Something. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't think
so. You guys know I don't watch this anymore. I'm familiar with some of this, though. So Cena came back. But this is supposed to be the end for him, right?
This will be his final WrestleMania.
Oh, so it doesn't mean it's his final match.
No. He's doing the whole year. He's doing the tour.
And he is wrestling.
He's doing
Dusty's
the Derek
son.
Jeter thing.
Never
right?
mind. I got it.
The Derek Jeter.
All right, Mark. We'll have fun with WrestleMania then.
All right.
And he'll be back on Friday, Mark Cabali, to react to and do his favorite thing, which is to grade the Steelers draft pick.